Before she went back on the trail, Omakias rinsed off the old candy lump in the lake. It came out beautifully, creamy golden, translucent and grainy dark, and sweet. She started walking, her treasure now wrapped in a leaf. As she walked, Omakias thought, there was no way to share such a tough nut of sweetness. How would she divide it? Omakias decided she did not want to cause trouble at home. Furthermore, it suddenly made sense to her that at least one person in the family should get the full effect of the maple sugar. She would pop the whole thing into her mouth all at once. This would save problems. Ah, oh, the lump was delicious, tasting of spring sweetness and the inside of trees. Besides, Omakias reasoned as she walked contentedly along, the taste of the sugar would save her from eating every one of the berries she was sure she would find on the path. Omakias's feet moved slower, and even slower yet. For one thing, the moose hide waited. For another, she was still angry with her older sister and didn't want to see Angeline. She could still feel that sister foot pressing, hateful, on her back. If only there were some way to impress Angeline, cause her envy, make her say, "Can I have some of those berries, please, please, please?" You can be sure, Omakias thought, her face taking on a faraway, haughty expression. She would be slow in answering. Yet the worst of it was this. Her sister was usually on her side, helping her plan tricks on the other children in the village, or gathering new ferns or snaring rabbits, visiting the grave houses looking for sugar or food left for the spirits, tossing off her clothes to swim with her. And to have her older sister laugh at her hurt Omakias so much inside that she both wanted Angeline to smile in surprise, to be proud, to envy her, and to feel rotten and be sorry forever. So Omakias took the slow way back looking for Ottoman, little red heartberries in the sunny margins of the woods near the ground. She carefully removed the hard lump of sweetness from her mouth, stuck it back in its leaf just inside the pocket of her dress. Just as the taste of maple sugar faded along her tongue, she bent over, pushed back delicate leaves, and found masses of plump red little berries. Ah, one, two, three. She'd eaten a huge handful. Another. She grinned, thinking that she'd allow her sister to return with her to plunder them, but only if Angeline changed her ways. All of a sudden, a rustle, and then a thump in a bush ahead made Omakias freeze. A long moment passed as she stared through the dark leaves. Suddenly, crash! Two bear cubs burst from the bush and rushed pell-mell, tumbling head over heels, straight for her. They came on in such a hurry that they didn't see Omakias until they were nearly in her lap, and then, with comical looks of shock, they tried to stop themselves. One flew flat on its face, bumping its nose and squealing. The other twisted in midair and landed in a heap on the ground, shaking its head in confusion at Omakias. The bear boys looked at her. Slowly, she put out her open hand filled with heartberries. Curious, the cubs jumped forward, lost their nerve. They scampered backward and then crept forward shyly again. The smaller cub seemed slightly bolder and sniffed at Omakias's hand. The bear cub took one berry, then jumped away in seeming fright at its own bold act. But the taste of the berry seemed to banish fear. The two now tumbled at her, growling, mock ferocious. Their long pink tongues touched up every berry from her hands, eagerly flicking them from her fingers as fast as she could pick. They seemed to like the game. It could have gone on for hours, that is, until she stood upright. Then they tumbled backward in alarm. Their chubby bottoms rolled them over like playing balls, and she laughed out loud. She realized they had thought Omakias was their own size. They were astonished the same way Omakias had been the first time she saw the traitor unfold a seeing glass, something he called a telescope, a long, shiny tube that grew in his hands. She bent down again. "Aneen, little brothers," she said to them kindly, and they came forward. She looked around. No mother bear. Omakias was well aware that she shouldn't stay so close to these cubs, but after all, they seemed deserted. She looked around again. They were orphans. Perhaps the mother bear's skin was now draped across old Tallow's bed, although she hadn't heard about a recent kill. But still, no mother bear in sight, and these little ones so hungry. Wouldn't her big sister be thrilled when Omakias returned with these two new brothers? Eagerly, Omakias began to plan out her triumphant walk back to the house. She would enter the little clearing with the cubs, one at her heels and one before her. Everyone would make way impressed. She would lead the bear cubs around the fire four times before she presented one of them to Angeline, who would look at her with new respect. There was no warning. One moment, Omakias was wiggling a leafy stick, making it move on the ground so the cubs would jump on it, biting fiercely. The next moment, she found herself flipped over on her back and pinned underneath a huge, powerful, heavy thing that sent down a horrible stink. It was the sow bear, the mother, breathing on her a stale breath of decayed old deer hides and skunk cabbages and dead mushrooms. Oh! The surprising thing was, Omakias realized later, that although she had no memory of doing so, she had the scissors out of their case and open, the sharp ends pointing at the bear's heart. But she didn't use them as a knife. She knew for certain that she should not move. If the bear began to bite and claw, she would have to plunge the tip of the scissors straight in between the bear's strong ribs, use all of her strength, sink the blade all the way into the rounded hilt, and then jump clear if she could, while the bear went through its death agony. If she couldn't get clear, Omakias knew she would have to roll up in a ball and endure the bear's fury. She would probably be clawed from head to foot, bitten to pieces, scattered all over the ground. Until the mother bear made the first move, Omakias knew she should stay still, or as still as possible, given the terrified jumping of her heart. For long moments, the bear tested her with every sense, staring down with her weak eyes, listening, and most of all, smelling her. The bear smelled the morning's moose meat stew Omakias had eaten, the wild onion seasoning, and the dusty bit of maple sugar from old Tallow stuck to the inside of her pocket. How she hoped the bear did not smell the bear-killing dogs, or the bear claw that swung on a silver hoop from old Tallow's earlobe. Perhaps the bear smelled the kind touch of Grandma and Mama's bone and sprucewood comb, her baby brother's cuddling body, the skins and mats she had slept in, and little Pinch, who had whined and sobbed the night before. The bear smelled on Omakias' skin the smell of its own cousin's bear grease used to ward off mosquitoes. Fish from the night before last night, the berries she was eating, the bear smelled all.